brought to you by Penguin.
Ways of Escape by Graham Greene. Read by Jamie Parker. As my body continues on its journey, my thoughts keep turning back and bury themselves in days past. Gustave Flaubert, to his mother, November 23rd, 1849. Preface. When I wrote a fragment of autobiography under the title A Sort of Life, I closed the record at the age of about 27. I felt then that the future years belonged as much to others as to myself. I couldn't infringe their copyright. They had a right to privacy, and it was impossible to deal with my private life without involving theirs. All the same, I had tasted the pleasure, often enough a sad pleasure, of remembering, and so I began a series of introductions to the collected edition of my books, looking back on the circumstances in which the books were conceived and written. They, too, were, after all, a sort of life. I have added essays which I have written occasionally on episodes in my life and on some of the troubled places in the world where I have found myself involved for no good reason, though I can see now that my travels, as much as the act of writing, were ways of escape. As I have written elsewhere in this book, writing is a form of therapy. Sometimes I wonder how all those who do not write, compose, or paint can manage to escape the madness, the melancholia, the panic, fear, which is inherent in the human situation. Auden noted, "Man needs escape, as he needs food and deep sleep." More rarely than might be supposed, the places I visited proved sources for my novels. I wasn't seeking sources, I stumbled on them, though perhaps a writer's instinct may have been at work when I bought my return ticket to Saigon, or Port-au-Prince, or Asuncion. So here is what I wrote of Haiti before I thought of the comedians, of Paraguay, which was to form a chapter in Travels with My Aunt. Yet the emergency in Malaya produced no novel, nor did the Mau Mau Rebellion in Kenya. Not even a short story emerged from the occasion when I was deported by the American authorities from Puerto Rico, or from my experience of the communist takeover in Prague in 1948. Poland in the Stalinist 1950s left the novelist's imagination untouched, and yet. Politics since 1933 have taken an increasing place in my novels, and perhaps the Mau Mau prepared me for the more sinister Tonton Macoute, and my apprehensions of ambush in Malaya lent an extra dimension to the fears which I sometimes experienced in Vietnam. I have included little from the articles I wrote on the French War there, for the American War made the earlier struggle seem a century away, and no one now can feel interest in such vanished characters as the Emperor Boadae and Prince Bu Luc. Those parts of a life most beloved of columnists remain outside the scope of this book. The copyright of others' lives, I hope I have continued to observe. Chapter 1. 1. What a long road it has been. Half a century has passed since I wrote The Man Within, my first novel to find a publisher. I was 22 years old when I began it, and I was on sick leave from the Times after an operation for appendicitis. In the drawing room of my parents' home at Berkhamsted, there stood, or rather wobbled, one of those small writing bureau with pigeonholes and little drawers, which used to be thought suitable for women. The flap was just wide enough for my sheet of single-lined foolscap. Breakfast was over, and my mother was busy discussing a domestic problem with the parlourmaid. How period such a title sounds today, and all those other household ranks, kitchen maid, pantry maid, nursemaid. I see myself now as a character in an historical novel, writing the first words of an historical novel. If I am removed from him by 50 years, he was only removed by twice that time from his story of smugglers in the first decades of the 19th century. Why is the opening line of that story stuck in my head when I have forgotten all the others I have written since? It is not a good line, for it has the ring of verse rather than prose.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?